Revelation chapter 17, verses 7 through 18. This is the reading of God's word. And the angel said to me, "Why do you wonder? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, and is about to come up out of the abyss and go to destruction. And those who dwell on the earth, whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will wonder when they see the beast that he was and is not and will come. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits, and they are seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, the other has not yet come, and when he comes, he must remain a little while. The beast which was and is not is himself also an eighth, and is one of the seven, and he goes to destruction. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings, who have not yet received a kingdom, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. These have one purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast. These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful." And he said to me, "The waters which you saw there where the harlot sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which you saw and the beast, these will hate the harlot and will make her desolate and naked and will eat her flesh and will burn her up with fire. For God has put it in their hearts to execute his purpose by having a common purpose and by giving their kingdom to the beast until the words of God will be fulfilled. The woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time. Grant us an ear to hear your word. Work in us that we may understand and know and believe and obey your word. Father, as we hear your word, let us be more and more like your Son, growing every single day to the fullness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like we said last time, we have divided the book of Revelation into seven sections. And from chapter 17, we have two more sections to go. The sixth section starting at 17:1, and the seventh section starting at 21 verse 9. From these two sections, we see two women. First, the harlot, the great city, the Babylon, and the second, the bride of our Lord Jesus Christ, the holy city, the New Jerusalem. First, the city of man, and the second, the city of God. First woman is judged by God and completely destroyed forever. The other woman receives eternal blessings of God and lives with God forever. We have learned the identity of the harlot, the city of man, and her eternal judgment that God pours out to her. The harlot is the great city, the Babylon, the city of man, which is built on the spirit of 666, meaning man-centered and this world-centered, meaning that it was built upon the principle of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. Using all the accomplishments of man to exalt man and to reject God. And the false religions and the false Christianity are a big part of this city of man. With the wealth, the power, and the glory of this world, the harlot tempts and seduces people, and she also, with the beast, persecutes the church. Now we come to verse 7. And the angel said to me, "Why do you wonder? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the 7 heads and the 10 horns." Then from verse 8, we learn about the identity and the nature of the beast. But you may recall that we have already met the beast in chapter 13. In chapter 13, verse 1b, we read, "Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names." The same description is given for us about the beast of our chapter, chapter 17, verse 3b says, "And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast full of blasphemous names, having 7 heads and 10 horns." Thus, the beast of chapter 17 is the beast of chapter 13, namely the worldly kingdoms and their kings. The harlot worships the beast as her husband. And verse 8 tells us, "The beast that you saw was and is not, and is about to come up out of the abyss and go to destruction. And those who dwell on the earth, whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will wonder when they see the beast that he was and is not and will come." The beast here is described in a similar language that was used to describe our God and Jesus Christ in chapter 1. We see this again and again. We see Satan and his beast mimicking God. We already saw the false Trinity. God and Jesus Christ, in chapter 1, it says, God is who is and who was and who is to come. But Satan and the beast are fake, false. He is who was and who is not, and who is about to come. Mimicking, but false. Beast is who is not. The meaning of who is not We have already seen this before, but let's briefly go over this. Let us go to chapter 20 of Revelation. Chapter 20. Verse 1 through 3. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him, so that he would not deceive the nations any longer, until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. What are we reading about here? I'm very sorry for you adults, you know, who is... I must instruct our little children to really worship. And if you don't want to worship, you could always step out. This is not time for you to talk or play. See how I have told you that we have to encourage one another to worship. Please, let us worship and let us listen to God's word. See, their parents are not here to correct these kind of stuff, so I have to do it. During the church period, the gospel period, the Satan is bound so that he will not deceive the nations any longer. He is bound, defeated by the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But when the church period is over, at the end of the church period, with false glory, the Satan will gather the whole world for the ultimate Armageddon that we already saw in chapter 16. So, during the church age, Satan is not that he doesn't exist during the church age, but he's bound. And it's not like he's bound in a location, but he's bound so that he may not deceive the whole nation. Which means during the church age, gospel will be preached and his chosen people will hear the gospel and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord. Because Satan is bound during the church age, the ministry of the word will be effective. But when the church age is over, meaning that everyone who has been chosen before the foundation of universe is already saved. The symbolic number, 144,000 people, the number has been reached. And the church age is at the end. And Satan is now, after that 1,000 years, he is not bound anymore, he is released. And we read that and go down to chapter 20, verse 7. When the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore, and they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. So they gathered to attack the church, and fire came down from heaven and devoured them. So at the end, what's going to happen is that Satan, with his beast, will have everyone's attention because now he's released. He's not bound anymore, so that no one will believe anymore. So he is able to deceive the whole nation, whole world, to gather for the final attack on the church. Now, we talked about the nature of this attack. You know, we're not talking about, you know, tanks and planes and things like that. Attack is in form of speech, false teachings, heretical teachings. And the world will believe him because he's not bound anymore. The church age is ended. But when that time comes, Jesus will return. So we understand this. He is not right now in that terms. Satan and the beast are who are about to come. But they come for their own eternal destructions. It says they come to go to destruction. We see the same thing in verse 11b. He goes to destruction. But verse 8b, and those who dwell on the earth, whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will wonder when they see the beast. The world will be amazed because of him. Then we go down to verse 9 and 10. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. And there are seven kings. Five have fallen. One is, the other has not yet come, and when he comes, he must remain a little while. Seven heads are seven mountains, and seven mountains are seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must remain a little while. Now, we're going to get some help from Daniel chapter 7 to understand the seven kings. But before we look at Daniel 7, we must also look at Daniel 2. But since we don't have that much time, I'm not going to read everything. But let us go there, Daniel chapter 2. And when we studied the God and heaven and Armageddon Bible studies together, we saw this, so I'm sure it's not something that is new to you. Daniel chapter 2, the Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar, has a dream, and Daniel interprets the dream for the king. And you understand that dream, he sees a statue. And the head of statue is fine gold, and the breast and its arms, silver, belly and its thighs, bronze, and legs, iron, and its feet, meaning 10 toes, partly iron and clay. And in chapter 2, verse 38, Daniel says that the Babylonian king himself is the head of gold. So you have statue, head is gold, and the breast and arms silver, belly and thighs bronze, and legs iron, and 10 toes are partly iron and clay. If the head is gold, Babylonian kingdom, then the breast and its arms, silver, is Persian kingdom. If you study the world history, Babylonian kingdom is destroyed by the Persian kingdom. So, Persian is silver, and bronze is then the next kingdom, Greek kingdom, and the feet, legs, iron is the Roman kingdom. And after Roman Empire, we see many, many nations, many, many kingdoms represented by 10 toes, and they are partly iron and partly clay. So we have the interpretation of that dream, and it's really helping us to identify what that statue is really about. Head is Babylonian kingdom. So you have then four kingdoms here, Babylonian, Persian, Greek, and Roman kingdom. But that's not all we see. We see a stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands, meaning that this stone is not by man's work. And this stone crushes the statue. So what do we see in that dream then? The kingdom of God destroying the kingdoms of the world. So God is telling us in Daniel 2 the history, what will happen in the future, starting from Babylonian kingdom. There will be four more powerful kingdoms, then there will be a period where all these different kingdoms will rise and fall. But at the end, what will happen? God's kingdom will come. And this divine kingdom will destroy all the kingdoms of the world. Spiritually, that has already happened when Jesus Christ came for the first time. But when he returns, it will be visible. So you see then the history. We are at the 10 toes period. And one day you will see God's kingdom completely destroying all the kingdoms of this world. So keep that in mind. Then we go to Daniel 7. Daniel 7, here we see seven beasts. So we're looking at the beast in our Revelation. So here are four beasts. So much closer symbolism to Revelation than Daniel 2. So let's read from chapter 7, verse 3. And four great beasts were coming up from the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had the wings of an eagle. I kept looking until its wings were plucked, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. A human mind also was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second one, resembling a bear, and it was raised up on one side, and three ribs were in its mouth between its teeth. And thus they said to it, "Arise, devour much meat." After this, I kept looking, and behold, another one, like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird, and beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, a fourth head, fourth beast, dreadful and terrifying and extremely strong, and it had large iron teeth. You remember fourth kingdom in chapter 2? It was iron, and it was Roman kingdom. And here, same thing, we have iron teeth. It devoured and crushed, trampled down the remainder with its feet, and it was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. While I was contemplating the horns, behold, another horn, a little one, came up among them, and three of the first horns were pulled out by the roots before it. And behold, this horn possessed eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth uttering great boasts. So here, four beasts. Then what? You have 10 horns, just like 4 kingdoms and 10 toes. We have here 10 horns, but at the end, we have a little horn that will come finally. But at the end, we see this little horn, and that little horn is the identity of the one king that has not come in our passage. The Antichrist. In Jeremiah 51 verse 25, the Babylonian kingdom is called a mountain. Thus, 7 heads are 7 mountains, which are 7 kings, but it all points to the 7 kingdoms. And if we read Ezekiel chapter 23, we see 2 more kingdoms that both Israel, the northern country, and the Judah, the southern country, played harlot with. And those 2 kingdoms are Egyptian kingdom and Assyrian kingdom. If we see 7 heads this way, then 5 that are fallen are Egyptian, Assyrian, Babylonian, Persian, and Greek. And 1 that is Roman kingdom, and the 1 that is to come is the whole world that is controlled by the Antichrist at the end of the church age. Of course, it is okay to look at this verse this way, but we do not have to look at this verse this way, attributing a certain kingdom to each head. We are able to say that here 7 kingdoms are described in terms of the beast that we saw a few verses before. So 5 that are fallen are all the worldly kingdom during the Old Testament time. 1 that is now. And 1 that is to come is the anti-Christian world controlled by the Antichrist. However you look at it, one thing is for sure. All the kingdoms and their kings of this sinful world will culminate in one person who is to come. The Antichrist. We saw this already, like I told you, when we studied the God and Heaven and Armageddon Bible study. But you understand that there are many, many antichrists in the world, in history. Go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. First John chapter 2, verse 18. Children, it is the last hour. And just you, as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this, we know that it is the last hour. Understand, throughout the history, many, many Antichrists have come. But all the antichrists are pointing to the Antichrist who is to come. Again, even this is mimicking Jesus Christ. Do you remember in the Old Testament we have many, many kings? But all these kings are pointing to the King, Jesus Christ. We have many, many priests. But all these priests are pointing to the priest, Jesus Christ. God sent many, many prophets, But all those prophets are pointing to the prophet, who is Jesus Christ. So Satan, same way, many, many antichrists throughout the history, but all will point to one, the final antichrist, the antichrist. And the one head that is to come is pointing to that antichrist at the end. Yes, when the church period is over, the whole world will be amazed at this individual, and the whole world will follow him. And everyone will have only one purpose, is to attack God and his people. This Antichrist, we learn about him a lot in the Bible. And we've been looking at, you know, his heart. What does he think inside from Isaiah passages and Jeremiah passages? But let us go one place, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here we learn more about this Antichrist who is to come. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. You know, day of the Lord will not come until this Antichrist comes. And when he comes, he will deceive the whole world. And the whole world will reject God and follow this person. Let's read more here. Verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? And you know what restrains him now. 1,000 years of binding Satan. We already read about that. See, he's not at this moment, but he is to come because he is bound. So, and you know, verse 6, what restrains him now so that in his time he will be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then that lawless one will be revealed, from whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. So as soon as this Antichrist comes, Jesus Christ will come, and that's end of that. That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders. See, he will come, this individual will come with signs and powers and false miracles, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. Everybody who is not chosen will believe and follow this guy. because God did not choose them. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. So his purpose is only one thing. He will come and deceive the whole world, and he will gather the whole world for the final Armageddon war that we already looked at in chapter 16. The head that is yet to come is pointing to this individual. Our job is not to, you know, put a certain person in history, because, you know, everybody who did that in the past, they were proven wrong. You know, somebody said Hitler was this guy, or somebody else said that even Pope is this guy. We don't know. But God will give you wisdom. When he really comes, I really believe we will know. Because it will be different. This is not just small groups following false Christ. This is the whole world being deceived. Who will know? Verse 11, the beast which was and is not is himself also an eighth and is one of the seven, and he goes to destruction. The eighth king is the seventh king. The eighth king is the same head that we've been looking at. And here, even here, I believe Antichrist is mimicking God, because Jesus Christ is, he was dead but resurrected on the eighth day, on the Lord's day. Verse 12 and 13, the ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. These have one purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast. When the Antichrist comes, the whole world, of course minus true believers, but I don't know how many true believers will be left at that time. In the gospel we read Jesus saying, when I come, where can I find the true faith? I mean, that clearly shows that the true faith will be hard to find when that time comes. Of course, the whole world minus true believers will follow him. But his time will be for a short time, 1 hour, very short time. In verse 10, a little while. In the gospel, Jesus says that God has shortened this time for the sake of chosen, because that time, when that time comes, the persecutions and suffering will be great for true believers. But God is not telling you all this so that you are afraid about these things. Look at the end. God is already showing you how everything will end. He will be destroyed. And God will preserve you. He will protect you. Worst thing that could happen is that you will be killed. But even that, it's gain, because when you are killed, you will see your God face to face, and you will live with him forever and ever. Isn't that our purpose anyway? They're doing good for us by killing us. Not only that, it is such an honor to participate in the sufferings of Christ. Man, even as a father, I will be very honored if my son or my daughter, that there will be martyrs. It's not going to bring me sadness that they're killed because of Jesus Christ. Because there's nothing better than that. Of course, the whole world will look at that and go, oh, how tragic. They just don't get it. Just a little while. That's all the time that God gave him. Thank God that even our life here is for a little while. Man, can you imagine? You know, I know in the Old Testament times, you know, by worldly things, they were to witness the reality of heaven, but some of these people lived 900 years. In the New Testament time, I don't think that's blessing. That is the curse. Why would you live here that long? And what is so bad about dying? No. We're not teaching you to go kill yourself. No. You live, you breathe that last breath that God gives you. I don't know when he's going to call you. But you live until that time and give everything you have in whatever that God calls you to do. Actively participating in the life of Christ. But when that time comes, we'll be glad to go. Glad to let this sinful world go. Verse 14. These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful. The Lamb and his people are ultimately triumphant. The victory that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished by his death on the cross and the resurrection will be visibly consummated. And it's simply written. It's not, you know, John does not tell us in great detail. It just simply says, the Lord will overcome. It's not even going to take that long. It will be just in a blink of an eye. Everything will be over. Verse 15, and he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which you saw and the beast, these will hate the harlot and will make her desolate and naked and will eat her flesh, will burn her up with fire. For God has put it in their hearts to execute his purpose by having a common purpose and by giving their kingdom to the beast until the words of God will be fulfilled. Everything is according to God's plan. Do not be afraid. God is in control. Even at this Antichrist crisis, God is still in control. Everything is according to his word. The woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. The complete and eternal destruction of the harlot. She will be killed by her own husband. The beast will kill her. We see this throughout history. Assyrian kingdom is destroyed by the Babylonian kingdom. The Babylonian kingdom is destroyed by Persian kingdom, and so on and on. The beast knows only himself. All of the worldly kingdoms and their kings, even though they are of the same beast, they are jealous of each other. They will destroy one another. This is what the world is all about. Even though they are from same kind, they're jealous because beast only knows himself. Oh, Persian king cannot say, oh, I will let Babylonian king also have glory and we share. No. Even though it's of same kind, from the same beast, the Persian king has to destroy Babylonian king because you cannot share the glory of this world. It's all mine. The world will destroy itself. Yeah. Will make her desolate and naked and will eat her flesh and will burn her up with fire. The harlot is judged. Satan, his beast, and the false prophet. All will be eternally judged by God and will be completely destroyed forever and ever. The rest of the book of Revelation tells us the complete and eternal destruction of all God's enemies. But brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you are not this harlot. And let me end with this. You are the ones who are with the Lamb in verse 14b. You are the called and chosen and faithful ones. You overcome the harlot in Jesus Christ. You are the church of God the Almighty. You must not follow the harlot. The church must not become harlot. You must be faithful to your Lord Jesus Christ until death. You must live by faith. Yes, there will be sufferings and persecutions, and when the time of the Antichrist nears, the sufferings and the persecutions will increase, but have faith. Believe in Jesus Christ. You already have the victory in Jesus Christ. You are already triumphant. You must believe and witness that reality. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Believe, brothers and sisters. Believe and trust our Lord Jesus Christ. He will be with you forever. Let the mountains crumble. Let the whole earth split in half. Whatever that might happen, Jesus will be with you. And he will not let you go. And even as you suffer for Christ, he's blessing you, giving you a glorious opportunity to participate in his suffering, to participate in the life of Christ that whom you love so dearly. the whole history, the world will end exactly according to what this book says. Don't be alarmed. Don't be surprised. Don't wonder, because you already know how everything will end. But if you know that, and if you believe it, then that faith will dominate your life. And how you live and what for what purpose you live will be determined by what you believe. This is very, very important. Trust our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, and let me end with this, Matthew 16, verse 18b, upon this rock, Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell will not overpower it. That is his promise. That is his promise. You are not the harlot. You have been saved out of this world. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and power. You are truly amazing God, full of grace, full of glory. Your plan is holy and amazing. And we thank you that you are Almighty God who are able to carry out everything according to your plan. And we thank you that is exactly what is going on even now. Let us trust you. Let us depend on you. Let us always seek you. Let us always seek your glory, your honor. Bless your people. Let us love you and be faithful to you until the end. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.